Picking up where I left off in the last presentation, this whole process, the dialectic process, is built on dialogue. It's part of our life. As I mentioned, an example of this would be going to a restaurant or a smorgasbord or somewhere where you had several choices of food to eat, and you had certain foods that you like, but your doctor said they weren't good for you. Now, if you go to dialogue, I think, you're more than likely going to eat what you want to eat. But when you bring discussion in, there's an external authority that's involved. Someone has told you something external to you. It's not sense-based. It is externally. You're being told. And so the doctor's telling you, based upon facts, that you shouldn't eat certain foods. If you go to discussion, you'll probably not eat them. And that's the difference between dialogue and discussion. Dialogue is our want. Discussion is what's right and what's wrong. And so today we find ourselves in meeting after meeting after meeting. Be positive, not negative. And the positive is simply what we want to do. The negative is what gets in the way of what we want to do. And the Bible calls it lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, which is not of the Father. Because the Father's structure is built upon traditional education. I rephrase that. Traditional education reflects the Father's authority system, that way of thinking. It's called a patriarchal paradigm. And I'll just read a portion of, and I've added this to a lot of my issues that I've written over the years. I'll just quote, "The father's authority system is reflected in traditional education, where the educator, number one, preaches established commands and rules to be obeyed as given, teaches established facts and truth to be accepted as is by faith, and discusses with the students any questions they might have regarding the commands, rules, facts, and truth being taught." Now, this is at the teacher's discretion. There are several things involved. Providing he or she deems it necessary, has time, the students are able to understand, and are not questioning, challenging, defying, disregarding, attacking authority. Now, it's important in the issue of discussion that you do. You try not to get to this because I said so. You would hope that your child would accept your command, your rules, your facts, the truth, that they would trust you. Now, the second part of that educational system is rewarding the students who do right and obey. And that encourages them to do right, and to continue to humble and deny themselves to do what's right. Then, number three would be correcting and chastening the student who does wrong or disobeys, that he might learn to humble, deny, die to, control, discipline, capitulate himself in order to do right and not wrong according to the established commands, rules, facts, and truth he has been taught. In other words, you've told him, last time I mentioned, when God created Adam, formed him from the dust of the ground. That's all dialogue. That the flesh and the world is dialogue. I feel, I think, I want, I don't want, I like, I don't like. But he told him, because he breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of man, and he became a living soul. And the soul knows by being told. That's our ability to tell someone or to be told, to write a book or to read a book. And so that is reflective of the Father's authority. Now, the world uses this system against God. The reasoning is to justify the flesh instead of recognizing God has to be the one who justifies us. And so this whole process of chastening or correcting is that we would do right and not wrong in order to do the Father's will. And then the fourth one is, if you question or challenge the Father's authority, you're cast out, you're expelled, you're grounded. And that is because the child has or the student has questioned, challenged, defied, disregarded, attacked the father's authority system. And this retains the father's authority system in the student's thoughts and actions. So there is this element of stimulus response, except it's simply to get the flesh to shut up and to listen to the truth, which deals with the soul. And this results in the student knowing, and I put that in bold, in caps, knowing, from right from wrong from being told, especially when it comes to behavior. It is this system or way of thinking called the patriarchal paradigm. And a paradigm is simply, now there's a patriarchal, there's a matriarchal, which is feelings, and the heresiarchal, which is change. And that's the, and the change is stimulus response. Anything that comes to the environment stimulates basically one of two things, an approach or a rejection, a like or dislike. And so with God, it doesn't matter if you like or dislike, it's doing what he says. Jesus certainly, after 40 days of fasting, the next thing you're going to have a meal on is your body, your organs. You're dying. And you might not really like that, but he said, it is written, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of God. And he was waiting on his father to give him direction in what to do. That's a patriarchal paradigm. See, Jesus said, I can do nothing of my own self. What my father commands, that's what I do. And he gives us that same structure, that same patriarchal paradigm. He who does my father's will in heaven is my brother, my sister, my mother. And so this paradigm is a way a person feels, thinks, and acts toward their self, towards others, towards the world, and towards the Father. And so the heresiarchal paradigm, which is the children of disobedience, they are attacking the Father's authority because they're of and for the world. They're of and for the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. The very core of Marxism, the core of Marxism is the rejection, and Marx would use the word negation. There's a German word he uses, and he had several words to use, but he used the most caustic and hateful word in regards to the father's authority. And the agenda was, and later on we'll cover Freud. Freud had his ideology is of a children who are kicked out by the father because of their incestual perverse behavior. They come together as a group and they come back and they not only kill the father, but they eat him. You know, you say, why eat him? What's that all about? Well, if you kill him, there's a tomb. You know, there's a grave. There's history. But if you eat him, you get rid of him. It's called negation. He doesn't exist anymore. And so if we can have a meeting where there's simply dialogue, your town hall meetings, oh, let's just all get together and share how we feel, what we think. There's no sovereignty. There's no father's authority. There's no accountability. It's all gone. He's negated, doesn't exist. And anybody who comes in and tries to introduce him is now called hateful, divisive, negative, mental, you know, a troublemaker, argumentative, all kinds of terms you can label a person with that comes in with simply the structure of this is right and that's wrong and what you're doing is wrong. No, it's just your opinion. See, and you can have that go on and on. They will not accept the fact that there's right and wrong. Everything is gray. That's the heresiarchal paradigm of change. And so this whole agenda by Karl Marx is to negate the father's authority, that system. So we go from what would dad or my parents or God, the father, say, to where, what does it mean to me? To eventually, what does a group think? What's good for society? Marx wrote, once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the heavenly family, the former, and that would be the earthly family, must itself be destroyed. And he used that word, vernichtet, annihilated or negated. And then he says, in theory and in practice, what's the earthly family? It's where children learn to humble, deny, die to, control, discipline, capitulate their self in order to do the Father's will. That is, to do what they are told. And what's the structure of the heavenly family? The Son of God and those who follow Him humble, deny, die to, control, discipline, capitulate their self in order to do the Father's will, to do what is written or what is told. And so the whole agenda is to create an environment, because it stimulates response. The environment stimulates a particular reaction. And if the environment stimulates pleasure, it's other world. If it stimulates hate, it's not of the world. It's of God. And so the conclusion of participation in this process is a contempt towards any external authority that tells you what is right and wrong. You notice it's very difficult to tell this generation right from wrong. Everything's subjective. Everything's, well, that's just your opinion. And so Mark says this has to be brought into the child or the adult's theory and practice. Theory, or he called it theoretical and practical. Theory is your thinking. You're dialoguing within yourself, because a theory isn't a fact. It's still an opinion. And so that's your dialogue. We're dialoguing our opinions, how we feel, what we think, to a feeling of oneness. And so what's practical? Whatever makes us feel good. Whatever we think in our perception is right, and what is wrong? Well, what's wrong? Anybody who comes in the room and insists upon absolutes, insists upon objective truth, truth that is external to the sense experiences of life. Now, Marx actually saw the reversal of this authority structure. It's not God that created the Father. It's the Father who created the created God. And he says this all begins with the child. The moment the child obeys the parent, he creates parental authority. And that was his objective. How can we get rid of this father structure in society? We have to totally reject his authority. And that's what happened in the French Revolution. They killed the king. In the Russian Revolution, they killed the king. They killed anyone who carried a cross, and that was the guillotines. Remember, everyone who came in and said, "This is mine and not yours." The judge was asked, "Well, how do they know who to kill?" Well, they just know. Because if they come to a piece of property and the owner of that property said, "This is my land, not your land," boom, you're dead. There's no mine, not yours. Rousseau, in defiance to God, because God said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, he said the earth belongs to no one and it's fruit to everyone. So he can come and pick apples off your fruit trees. You worked hard to produce. You watered it when it was freezing. You put water on to save the petals. You sprayed them to kill the bugs. You took care of the ground. You did all kinds of activity to make sure you had a good fruit. Well, Mr. Rousseau and his friends can come along, take fruit, and say, "It all belongs to us all. Have a nice day." Whatever he sees, he owns. That's what happened in the garden. Whatever the woman saw, she owned. "Well, this tree's just like all the other trees. I think I can eat of this one too." And so, getting back to what Mark said, the life, and here's quote unquote, "The life which he," the child, "has given to the object," the parent, "sets itself against him as an alien and hostile force." So when the child submits to the father's authority, he is now committing a crime against his carnal nature, his nature to lust. See, the Bible talks about this lust. Why do we have war? It's because we lust. And we don't ask the Lord for the solution, because he doesn't give us what we want. I have said in meetings several times, the only reason you're depressed, if you're depressed, the only reason you're depressed is God is not doing it your way. And so we have now a culture that is unteachable. Everything is based on feelings. The iPad, all the computer programs are aimed towards sense experience. Now, one of the quotes that I often refer to is the quote by Karl Marx regarding sin. Now, he wrote a book or an article called The Holy Family, and he goes into how to generalize and all that, turn the different apple trees, fruit trees out there into one general tree. See, it's a generalizing. And in a generalizing, then you can get rid of the specific. You can get rid of those people who cause division because this tree is different than that tree. No, they're all the same. They practice that in medicine. One thing fits all. And so Marx wrote this in The Holy Family. Not feeling at home in the sinful world. Critical criticism must set up a sinful world in its own home. Critical criticism is a spiritualistic, Lord, pure spontaneity, actus purus, intolerant of any influence from without. What is this critical criticism? It's your dialogue. See, if I can get, because we have discussion and dialogue going on. Whenever we're where we've told we can do whatever we want, we dialogue. But when we are told we can't do something, then we go to discussion. So we have both of these, and we try to find a balance within ourselves. Homeostasis, they call it. Well, the agenda is to put the students in an environment of feelings-based, be positive, not negative, which accentuates the dialogue. In fact, anybody who comes in and says you're wrong is interrupting because, see, Marx actually said, it's intolerant of any influence from without. And so the dialogue, there is no father's authority in dialogue. There's no fear of God. There's no sovereignty. There's no inalienable rights. There's no bill of rights. And so if you're, and this is the consensus meeting, and you can only get to the consensus outcome through dialogue. So the agenda of facilitators is to get your town hall meeting to where, how do you feel? What do you think? That language, and you have lost your rights. Just the language, the structure of the language produces the outcome. So if I have a class where the students get together in a group grade and they dialogue, share how they feel and what they think, their opinion, to a consensus, a feeling of oneness, parental authority is out. It's gone. I don't have to tell the students to attack their parents' authority. They will do it automatically. And so critical criticism is this dialogue building up. The more you build solutions to the dialogue system, the more resentment. You first have dissatisfaction, it moves to resentment, and eventually it moves to hate. It's progressive. And when the child goes home, and the parent tells the child they can or cannot do certain things. You can't do that. Do this, don't do that. That hate comes to the point of where they will get rid of the parent. They'll, there is complete, the heart is deceitful above all things because our heart thinks pleasure is the standard of life when it's not. The purpose of life is to do the Father's will. So we're deceived in ourselves. And then because of this dialogue, you're upset with somebody, and what do you do? Well, I'll be able to do this, and so-and-so is preventing me from doing it. This is why you cast all your cares upon the Lord. This is why you give everything to the Lord instead of allowing the hate and the rejection of, Jesus came to give us the message of love, of forgiving. That doesn't mean to look the other way when wrong is being done. You call wrong, wrong. But when a person asks for forgiveness, you forgive them. But they have to admit that they're wrong. See, you can't have mercy until you're guilty. If you have mercy on someone before they're found guilty, that doesn't even make sense. And yet today, when you go to dialogue, see, there's no absolutes. And so there's no wrong. So there's no mercy. See, in that dialogue world, there's no mercy towards you. It's all, what can I get out of this for me? It's all vanity. It's lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. It's the children in control of society. In fact, one of the quotes by Karl Marx was from Heraclitus. Now everybody talks about Democritus, but it's Heraclitus that he built his ideology from. Heraclitus before Socrates. Socratic critical thinking is built off of Heraclitus' work. They rejected a lot of it, but the structure is there. And this is a quote, every grown man of the Ephesians should hang himself and leave the city to the boys. Let me repeat that. Every grown man of the Ephesians should hang himself and leave the cities to the boys. Let the fathers kill themselves. On Marx's tombstone, there's a quote, the philosophers all interpret the world in different ways. The objective, however, is to change. Is change, is a process. That's stimulus response. You study psychology, it's stimulus response. You study sociology, it's stimulus response. You study philosophy, it's stimulus response. The whole Protestant Reformation was a rejection of stimulus response. It was a rejection of men's opinions. In fact, let me give you a quote. Now, Luther said some things he shouldn't have said. I understand why he said what he said, but he shouldn't have said them. But he said a lot of things that were absolutely spot on. One of the miserable Christians, he writes, whose words and faith still depend upon the interpretation of men. In other words, opinions of men, and who expect clarification from them. This is frivolous and ungodly. The scriptures are common to all and are clear enough in respect to what is necessary for salvation and are also obscure enough for inquiring minds. Let us reject the word of man. And so this structure of thought, the patriarchal paradigm, the Protestant Reformation would say, let's go back to the Father. Don't priest of all believers. Don't put anyone between you and God. In fact, the Marxist Max Horkheimer, who was head of the Frankfurt School for a while, and they don't translate this stuff into English because they don't really want you to understand it, called Vernunft's Selbsthaltung. In other words, reasoning and self-preservation. And here's his quote, Protestantism, doing your best unto the Lord, doing the Father's will, no matter what. He writes, was the strongest force in the extension of cold, rational individualism. And how do you undo Protestantism? This is what Luther was addressing. Loyola undermined the Protestant Reformation through dialogue. How do you feel? What do you think? The same language in the garden. Jesus wouldn't go there into temptations. He never went, I feel, I think. But we do. And God has called us to say, I know. I know why? Because God said so. Jürgen Habermas, another Marxist, wrote a book, Theory and Practice. There you go. And theoretically and practically. He writes, if the restoring of life of the world is to be conceived in terms of Christian revelation, in other words, being told, then Marx must collapse into a bottomless abyss. You don't think the Marxists don't know? And why am I talking about Marxism? The dialoguing of opinions to a consensus, the group grade in the classroom, from Bloom's taxonomies, is Marxism. You don't have to go to Europe to discover it. It's in your public and even your private and even in your Christian schools. I spoke at Liberty. I taught at Oral Roberts University. All the professors of the Christian universities are being required to use Bloom's taxonomies to develop their syllabi. This is global. You can go to the third world countries, and the educational systems are all built upon the application of Bloom's taxonomies, the dialectic process, the dialoguing of opinions to a consensus, the group grade, let's be positive, non-negative, open-ended, non-directive, and it's the same system as the Soviet. The Soviet is a diverse group of people. That's the group. Dialoguing their opinions to a consensus over social issues in a facilitated meeting, because you need the facilitator, because we don't do this naturally. All the books actually say this doesn't come naturally to a predetermined outcome. Well, what's the outcome? We make no decisions without getting in a group, dialoguing to consensus over social issues in a facilitated meeting. So that no absolute, no judgment from God ever gets up the ladder. So those in leadership are never exposed to having a guilty conscience for what they do. That's how powerful this dialogue is. It's a part of our life. The Bible talks about the imagination of men's heart. It was evil continuously. What was that? Men were dialoguing. I feel, I think. I oughta, shoulda, mighta, coulda. God's in my way. My parents are in my way. The Bible talks about the children killing the parents. And this is where we're going. We've already seen the revolution going on in the nation and the people who have been hurt. Because if your child goes into this group grade with absolutes, my dad says, where they have to suspend the truth. They have to suspend the truth like Jesus on the cross to be a part of the group. And if your child does not suspend the truth, suspend Christ on the cross, put him on the cross, get rid of him, he will be martyred. See, if your child isn't converted, he'll be silenced, he'll be censored, and he'll be removed. But first you have to tie everybody to a sense of belonging. You want to be a part of the group. We all have that. But this is where the Bible says deny yourself, first of all. You can't do the second one, pick up your cross. You have to be willing to suffer the rejection of everybody in the room and follow Jesus, doing the Father's will. People want to get rid of so-and-so, organizations, this, that. No, it's the heart. And God has given us the answer. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, because you and I cannot see what's really going on. God says, my ways are not your ways, neither your thoughts my thoughts. As far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Now I'm paraphrasing, but you get the point. That's what Job was all about. We don't know. But when God gives you direction, you do what God tells you to do. It has to be according to His word, and make sure it's His word and not some man's opinion of His word. That's a solution, because God looks at the intent of our heart. How's your heart? Is your heart seeking after the things of the world? And sure, you work to put a roof over your head and food on the table. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but Jesus didn't reject the bread. We need it. But is God in all your thoughts? Is there a fear of God before your eyes? It's not a cowering fear. It's a fear of disappointing, of not doing His will. That's what a loving child who loves the Father thinks and behaves according to. So I hope you understand, and I'll get into the quotes. We'll go through Rogers and Maslow and all these other social sciences as I go through and try to share this information on an audio form. I write. I know I'm not a good writer. I bury people in the data. I was just hoping somebody would pick it up and run with it. Nobody's addressed Bloom's taxonomies. I've been doing this for over 30 years. I don't know anybody who's... Nobody. None of the conservatives, you know, the big names. If that material had been addressed, properly addressed, and I just see God saying, you know what, I've had it. It's over. Now, for the elect's sake, He'll shorten the days. But we haven't seen the nasty side of this. Now, I'm being negative? No. I'm just simply saying God looks at your heart to determine what to do with the nation. But you shouldn't be concerned about the nation. You should be concerned about what God has you to do today. The rest will take care of itself.